August 3rd, 2005, item number 71. Today's guest is Robert Nelson from the Are You a Geek podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 podcast. Before we get into the interview with Robert, a couple quick news and notes. First off, me and my wife decided, you know, now that we're pregnant and that one financial burden coming up wasn't enough, that we now need to go out and purchase our house. So today we went out looking at houses. So, you know, you need to have both financial burdens hitting you at once to really put the pressure on you. That was an interesting thing today. The first house we looked at, the only thought in my head was, run away. Not the best of houses. Second one we looked at, much nicer. We'll get approved for the loan. We'll probably make an offer on that one. Yep, the joy of moving and getting a new house. Always fun things. One thing you should point out on this interview, what was done. This interview was done via Gizmo Project, and I actually used the record feature in Gizmo Project. So you get to hear the sound quality of recording in Gizmo Project, and you can compare that to some of my past interviews where I've done them in Skype to Skype. Previously, I've mentioned Gizmo Project. This time, you actually get to hear what it actually sounds like. So let's go ahead and get into the interview with Rob from Are You a Geek podcast. Here we go. Rob, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And start you out with question number one. What was your first computer?
The first computer. I'm not really sure how much you would consider it a computer. You know, it was one of those little jobs that hooked up to your TV. It was a Timex Sinclair 1000.
Oh, no, that definitely falls under category of first computer.
Yeah, it's a computer, but, you know, one of those goofy little almost sort of keyboards and nothing, you know, not really a real type of fun computer.
And we mentioned in the pre-interview, you're from Patchogue and I'm from Bayport, so you are actually the closest geographical that grew up from where I grew up. So
not too far.
Nope, you're within 10 miles of where I grew up.
Pretty much right around the corner. And it's strange to talk to some, you know, you come across somebody like this and you figure out they're, you know, not too far.
I would say what's even funnier is now you're in Boca Raton and I'm in Overland Park, Kansas. We're nowhere even near where we grew up.
No, you can't get too much. I moved just about as far away and stay on the East Coast as I could.
Now, again, I want to mention that today's interview is a little different in that we're using Gizmo Project, which is the first time I've used Gizmo Project for an interview, and it's an alternative to Skype. You know, judge for yourself the sound quality. Let's go on to podcasting question here, and that was, what is the first podcast you ever listened to?
The first one was the Engadget podcast way back when Phil Terone was still doing them, I guess back sometime around October, November. At that point, it didn't really register to me as a podcast. I still listen to it, you know, sitting in front of my computer and, you know, that type of thing.
What podcasts are you listening to now on a regular basis?
On a regular basis, I listen to Geek News Central, Endurance Radio. That's actually one of my favorites. Buzz Out Loud, the CNET. It's just a nice, short, quick podcast. I listen to 2600, both their, Off the Hook, and they have one other, I forget the name of it right now. I listen to Don and Drew. Of course, I listen to Podcast 411.
Thank you.
Rock and Roll Geek Show is another one of my favorites. Those are probably my, you know, on my must-listen list. I have about 50 that I subscribe to, but, you know, some of them are, you know, if there's too many, some of them will get pushed back, but...
Now, one podcast, I was talking to Nate from Nate and Die right before we got on the interview here, and you have the distinction of being the first person ever to send them email feedback.
That's pretty cool. I like their show. I like the fact that they get on and make no bones about what they, you know, what they think or what they believe in, and they're just honest, open, and express themselves. It's cool to be able to do that.
Yeah, they have a really good podcast. It's funny. It's one of the ones I listen to. But it was just funny talking to Nate, and he said, "Well, who are you?" I said, "Yeah, I got an interview today." So he interviewed me, and I said, "Oh, Robert Nelson from Are You Geek?" He goes, "Oh," he goes, "he was the first one that ever sent me an email." He goes, "Tell him thank you." He goes, "It was those early emails that really kept us going."
Yeah, I started listening to them, I guess, right when they first started, because they started posting on Don and Drew's forums. Mm-hmm. So I picked up them pretty early, I guess. But yeah, I guess I should put them. Should say they're on my must listen. They're definitely a good show. There's always something interesting going on with them.
Let's talk about your podcast. Tell our listeners what the format is, what people can expect to hear when they tune into your show.
The format, that's something I'd like to say. I have a definite format from show to show, but it seems to change depending on, you know, like what, how many news stories I could find or how many websites. What we try to do is cover news stories that, you know, will catch my interest, that, you know, I think I want to talk about or pass on to somebody, stuff I want to show off, whether it be, you know, a new program like Gizmo or, you know, a website that I frequent, that type of thing. Those are the three main things we do. I don't really have a, you know, a set format where it has to be this type of thing. I like to break it up depending on what I can find during that week.
And content-wise, what kind of content would people like to hear?
Basically anything tech-related, it could be. One of my big things I like to talk about is computer security. Sometimes it makes me a little uncomfortable, only because, you know, it may be looked upon as, you know, more hacking stuff. But at the same time, if you look at the knowledge on the other side of it, it's only out there. You know, if you learn about it, you can choose to do something bad with it, but you can also, you know, better protect yourself, or, well, not yourself, but your, you know, your family's computers, or, you know, your work computers, type of stuff like that. So
I noticed you've mentioned Wi-Fi multiple times on your show, and security and Wi-Fi. Did you read the article this week on the guy that got arrested for accessing someone's Wi-Fi spot?
I did, and that's actually one of the things I plan to talk about tomorrow when I sit down to record. I don't really know what to say about it. It's a joke.
I want to know, and I can't, and I haven't been able to find out. Did he get arrested because he was just using the Wi-Fi, or did he get arrested because he was using the Wi-Fi to get into their computer to try to hack into their computer?
Every article I could find and read, he got arrested just because he was using it.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know how many free Wi-Fi spots that I've war-driven and picked up and used because I needed to get on the internet?
I think everyone who actively uses a laptop and uses a computer has at one point or another connected to somebody's access point. You know, no matter where it is. I could drive down my road and hit half a dozen points with my laptop open. And the thing that bothers me about it, I know somebody else said this, I can't remember where, but it really hit me that a lot of people purposely leave their networks open. You know, whether it's right or wrong according to their terms of service is one thing, but, you know, with all that aside, a lot of people leave them open purposely to share. How are you going to know if it's one of those that, you know, is open because they're wanting you to share it, or just because they don't know any better and they leave it unprotected?
Right. I mean, I am one of those people. I may have to edit that out, but I don't turn on my security. I don't feel anyone's going to hack into my computers because I've got a router here, and I'm on Macs, and they're not going to get in any way, and all my computers are password protected, and access is... I made sure the computers were protected, but I leave my Wi-Fi network open.
Mine's totally locked down.
Yeah, you mentioned you use the MAC address, which is the absolute... If you're going to lock down, MAC address is the way to go.
Yeah, mine's... Nobody's going to connect unless, you know, they come into my house and, you know, I adjust some settings for them to actually get on.
Right, and by the way, for people that don't know, MAC address doesn't mean that you have a MAC computer. Every Wi-Fi card has a little address, and it happens to be called MAC, and I forget what the acronym stands for, but it's not...
I don't remember.
MAC,
yeah.
It's not Macintosh. But if you actually look on your Wi-Fi card, or if you have a laptop, there should be a sticker on the bottom of your laptop that tells you what the MAC address is.
Right, exactly. Yeah, see, I have mine 100% locked down, but, you know, we have multiple computers in the house, and it's just easier. Not that I'm really worried about somebody coming and sitting and hacking in necessarily. You know, like I said, I could drive down my street, you know, hit half a dozen points, so the odds of me getting hit are really pretty slim, but... I tend to be more on the paranoid side with that, so that's one of my favorite topics.
Yeah, that article just scared me, because I've always assumed, like you said, that, hey, if this network is open and free, I consider it open and free. If
right.
you don't want me on your network, put a password in. Otherwise, I'm considering that an open and free network, and I can't believe this guy got arrested for using an open and free network.
Yeah, see, I don't really see anything that he did as a crime. I mean, they're charging him with something, you know, like unauthorized access, but, you know, it doesn't make sense. It was left open. Who knows? He was obviously, you know, whether he just got lucky and looked out the window and saw somebody, but somehow he had to figure out that this guy was out there.
Oh, actually, no, I was reading the article. they came by his he was out there for multiple hours, and they came by and they could see the laptop, and he closed it, and then they opened it, they left the house, they came back, he was still there. Then he was still there later on, and they called the police. So it was there multiple hours accessing it. But hey, if you find a good Wi-Fi connection and you got work to do and you're on the road, you're going to do that. I mean, I used to travel all the time. Last year, in 2004, I was on the road one out of every 2 weeks, and I hit a lot of free access points. Any place I could find a free access point. If it allowed me in and I could get my email or through POP, or I could get into the internet to get it, I used it. I just assumed if it's open, it's free.
And that's exactly the way I've always looked at it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I have a feeling that this guy's going to kind of be made an example of.
Maybe there's things they're not telling us. Maybe the guy was uploading kiddie porn or doing something else. I mean, if all he was doing was checking his email and surfing the web,
right?
Then I have a real problem with this, because, you know, these people put a service out there, did not put a password in it, and if anybody should be in trouble for allowing their network to be shared, it should be the owners of it and not the guy that used it.
Exactly. Yeah, not that I hope this might come out kind of sounding a little funny, but not that I hope he was doing something wrong, but in a way I hope that was the reason. Not strictly for, you know, I don't want him to be, you know, sitting there playing with kiddie porn, but, you know, I hope there was more than a reason of just accessing the point.
One of the things we didn't talk about on your show is you also have a co-host.
Yeah, sometimes from time to time. He's had some technical difficulties, we'll say, over the past couple of weeks. But
yeah, I heard he mentioned he was in an accident. How is he feeling?
Right. So far, he's, you know, back to normal. He was actually going to be on it last week, but he got his stuff in a little bit too late, and I kind of jumped the gun a little bit and recorded a little earlier than I normally would. So kind of accidentally shut him out, I guess. I felt pretty bad, but, you know, it happens. It was an honest mistake, so. But he's a good guy, somebody, you know, I just totally met online, and he's out in Texas. Somebody I'll probably, honestly, chances of meeting in person are pretty slim, but, you know, we've talked on the phone, we've talked over Skype and email and stuff like that, and we have, you know, a lot of computing stuff in common, so it works out good.
Coming up on future shows, any segments or anything that you're looking at adding to the show?
I'd like to start adding maybe the occasional interview, just not even really an interview, just kind of see what other technology people are using, you know, what other kind of gadgets people are using, stuff like that, you know, how they use certain things, you know, like for the iPod, for example, you know, you can do just a ton of different stuff on there, you know, put notes and contacts, but, you know, how many people actually do it? So
I do.
Do you?
Yes, I use my calendar. I am an iPod junkie. I've had an iPod since December 2001. And actually, I went 2 weeks. I got my third iPod 3 days ago. And I had gone 2 weeks before that without an iPod, because the one I had previously, the hard drive died. And it took me 2 weeks to go through all the diagnostics and finally accept the fact that it was dead. And when I looked online to see the price of a new hard drive, I decided, well, do I want to spend $160 for a new hard drive, or do I just want to go out and buy a new iPod? And I just chose to go out and buy a new one.
Out for the new one. Which model did you get?
I went with the 20 gig photo.
Okay. I have the 40 gig photo myself. I picked the 40 up right after they changed the photos to just 30 and 60,
mm-hmm.
and they hugely discounted the 40s. I went out and picked one up then. So,
let's not forget to tell listeners where to locate your podcast.
They can find the website at www.rugeek.com, and you know all the podcast information is right up top there. All the different feeds.
Now, you mentioned that you had listened to Engadget back in October timeframe, and you have your podcast is kind of a mixture of a podcast and a blog. How long back do you go in the blogging side?
I didn't actively start blogging until I started doing the podcast, which I guess might be a little strange.
No, I never blogged at all, so there's a lot of podcasters that have never blogged, so it's not all that unusual.
Yeah, I set it up, I guess, and just for the fact that I can put it there, there's a lot of stuff that it'll pop up, you know, little things here and there that, you know, I may want to put out but not necessarily talk about on the show, just to keep the, you know, time limits down. So I'll try to put put that stuff on the blog. But even for that, most of my listeners, I can tell through my stats, are coming from, you know, either iPod or Lemon or iTunes. So, you know, most of them aren't even getting all the blog information. But, you know, that's okay. The people that are getting there are enjoying it. So keep it up there. Keep it going.
What are you using hardware-wise and software-wise to put together your show?
Right now, I record 100% into an iRiver and then edit it on my Mac using Audacity. I have, you know, I go from my microphone through a mixer right into the iRiver, and that seems to work good for me. Yeah, I have an Audio Technica mic and a one of the smaller Behringer mic preamps. Nothing too fancy, just try to get a better sound. That's one of the big issues I've had.
Any advice you'd like to offer out to someone who's looking at starting a podcast?
Just to do something that you actually enjoy, because it's a lot more behind the scenes work than you would expect. Like I said before, you know, the audio has been a growing experience for me. You know, I really didn't understand how much it would take once you're actually done recording the 30 minutes to, you know, to put it all together. And as I go on, you know, that time is gradually going down. You know, if you want to start a podcast, go for it. Just, you know, do something that you enjoy and that you don't mind taking the time to research and, you know, pick out stories for. Because even like me, I try to keep the show around 30 minutes, but, you know, give or take, sometimes it's a little shorter, a little longer. But, you know, a little bit of research throughout the week, even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes here or there, and then the actual recording time, but then, you know, the time to make the blog and upload and, you know, all that good stuff, it all adds up. So, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize that until they're actually doing it. So, you know, do something you enjoy and, you know, be prepared to make the commitment for it, but have fun with it at the same time. I enjoy doing it.
Rob, any last items you want to talk about your show or anything else that we didn't get a chance to cover yet?
No, I think overall we've covered just about everything. I tell people, you know, my show is just basically, it's a podcast about all things geeky. Like I said, anything technical could be included, you know, just from, you know, silly little articles and, you know, goofy little Nintendo belt buckles like I recently posted to.
I love that, you know, picture.
You know, to Wi-Fi and, you know, gadgets, iPods, Trios, PlayStation Portables, you know, a little bit of everything.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Robert from the Are You a Geek podcast. Please check out his podcast at areyouageek.com. That's areyouageek.com. Thanks again, Robert, for coming on the show. Really enjoyed talking with you. At the end of today's podcast, we're going to play a promo from the All Florida Indies podcast. I would like to remind you, if you have a promo you'd like me to play on the show, please send promos to podcast411@gmail.com. Now, here's a really important thing to remember when you're doing your promo. When you have music in the background, your music should not be way up here and your voice down here. Reverse it. Put 12 to 15 dB of separation between your voice and the music. Otherwise, all people can hear is the music, and that's all that they're going to hear, and they're not going to hear your talk. So please, lower your background music, raise your volume for your voice, put a good 12 to 15 dB separation in there. The message is what you want them to hear, what you're saying. Well, that's going to do it for us today. I'd just like to thank everyone who sent me emails and the congrats and the well wishes. I really do appreciate it. My wife also very much appreciates it also. She's very touched by it, and we're keeping our fingers crossed. Hope everything goes well, and we'll keep you up to date as we progress through the next 7.5 months. Well, that's going to do it for me today. As always, I'm your host, Rob, from the Podcast 411 Podcast, reminding you to listen different.
Aloha, this is Bing Futch, host of All Florida Indies AFI Radio, a weekly free-format program featuring unsigned performers from the Sunshine State, artists such as Bughead, the New Cowboys, Precious, Michael Andrew,
I'm ready for music and love.
The Windbreaker,
tied up with a black velvet band.
Lucid Fly, Box Elder, Madeline Zero,
Cow,
Boy Swing, Friction Farm, Nori Nori, Gumpy, The Chase Theory, The Tarantulas, and more. Every week, we bring you the best of Florida's new and classic original unsigned music on AFI Radio. AllFlorida.blogspot.com.